In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. One of the many reasons that I admire St. Nikolai Velimirovich so much is because he dares to teach and to preach exactly as our Lord Jesus Christ taught and preached. Most stay, when they preach, within the realm of this world and our understanding. We try to use things that people already understand about this world and point upward, but from within this world. It's very seldom that someone has the spiritual insight to be able to teach as Jesus Christ taught himself, to be able to preach as he preached. And how is that? For St. Nikolai, as for Christ, all of this world of God's creation is a symbolic world that points beyond itself, whose meaning is beyond itself, whose meaning can't be found from simply within this world. Now, as human beings, we desire something that is beyond ourselves, that is beyond this world. But it takes someone who is holy, who is Christ-like, or Christ himself, to use this world as a comparison, as Jesus Christ does so often, to heaven. And to take things about this world that we understand and do more than simply point upward, but make a comparison between the things that we understand in this world and how those things are somehow like heaven. Because the ultimate reality is not this world cut off from God. The ultimate reality is this world at one with him by his presence in the world. Christ comes into the world and he fills the world with his presence. But he's not here simply to be present in the world. He is here in order to be present within us. Our lack is a lack of the presence of God within ourselves. We can have perfect health. We can have a perfect way of life, using the things of this world to the maximum. And yet we are not fulfilled. We are only fulfilled when our soul guides our life in the world and when our soul is touched by God. It goes beyond physical healing. And the passage that we've just heard this morning from the Gospel according to St. Luke, which also appears in the writings of other apostles, shows Christ taking people where they are, given the faith that they have, and leading them to a revelation of the reality of things. And St. Nikolai helps us to gain that same understanding. St. Nikolai, in his sermon for this day, says, "When the sun's rays touch a rock, the rock begins to shine. When a flame touches an unlit candle, it begins to burn. When a magnet touches a metal object, the object becomes magnetized. When an electric wire touches an ordinary wire, they both become electrified." Here, he is using things that we are familiar with, not to explain the scientific details within this world, but he's using them to point out that a candle without a lit flame is not a candle burning and giving light. Just as we, as human beings, without the touch of God, are not giving light to the world. We must be touched by God. We must be touched by Christ. This world only glows and reveals itself as a world that can show the presence of God when the light of God shines forth. A woman who had had many doctors and medicines touches Christ And then she is made whole. Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, has come to Christ and asked him to come to his house and to lay his hand on the head of his daughter, his little 12-year-old daughter, who is dying. Matthew simply says she is dead. Here in St. Luke, it says she is dying. But she is on her deathbed. And Jairus' faith is so great that he knows that if this Jesus, this Christ, this Son of God, comes to his house and lays his hand on his daughter, still she can arise. His faith is not as great as the centurion's faith. The centurion, you remember, said that he was unworthy for Jesus to come into his house, but only say the word, and I know he will be healed. But still, Jairus' faith is great, and his desperation, like the desperation of the woman that they meet on the way, is great. Jairus' faith is encouraged by Jesus' healing of the woman and by Jesus mentioning that something has happened. He knows that something has changed. Someone has touched him in faith and need of him, need of his healing. The apostles say, "How can you ask such a question when so many people press on us?" Many of those people, there is no doubt, had infirmities and afflictions. Only the woman who touched him with this faith and desperation of belief that here was the source of her healing was healed. The others touched him and nothing happened. There is a participation between the person and Christ God in order for a healing to be made, unless he decides that he will simply do it on his own. There is no faith possibly forthcoming from the person, like the demoniacs that he healed. But it was only the woman of faith who is healed here. And he tells her, "Your faith has made you whole." It doesn't mean that your belief in some kind of magic, touching the hem of the garment of the holy man, that's what's made you whole. Your faith, no. It's her participation in the divine energy that Christ God has, that he bears throughout his journeys with the apostles. But only those who are able to participate by love of him, the desire for God and his holiness, are healed by participation, which is why he came into the world, in order for it to be possible for us to be as we were meant to be, not just with whole bodies, but also a soul that is alive to God. That's the ultimate kind of healing. You remember from the Old Testament, the Ark of Covenant. There was a time when the Ark was being carried, and one of the soldiers saw that it was about to fall over and touch the Ark, and he died. That is what the presence of God was like in the Old Testament. Here, God is present fully in Jesus the Christ. People touch him. They don't die because of the presence of God in this world. Most don't even recognize the presence of God. God has become one of us, has taken on our humanity in order to be able to mingle amongst us and deal with us according to our faith and our response to him. Bishop Nicolai said, "No created thing in nature by its own power can be any use to us." He means can be any spiritual use to us. Now, obviously, all of the things of the world can be of practical use. We are very good at putting the things of the world to practical use. But the ultimate goal of our lives has to do with living a life that is body and soul, a fully alive life. So none, he says, of the things of the world are of any use to us by themselves. Nor can the living God be not aware that it is his gracious power that comes from him. It's not possible that the woman of faith touching him would not be noticed by the Son of God. He notices it immediately. The link, the personal link between the person, the woman of faith, and himself, the person who needs healing, and the healing that he is able to provide to those who touch him, who have this kind of faith, he immediately notices her presence. It's the same with our use of the things of the world. When we use the things of the world to our salvation, God immediately notices. He notices our faith. He notices that we realize that our dealing with the things of the world is meant to go beyond their practical usefulness to us in a worldly way. He notices that immediately. This is something that we need desperately today, with the ultimate confidence that we have in our own abilities, in the medical capacities of our world, our modern world. We look down on the past because we believe only now are we able to heal ourselves. And to an incredible degree, we are able, by medical means, to heal the body. But it's more than just about healing the body. It is the whole of us that needs to be healed. St. Nikolai points out that when Jesus goes into the room of Jairus' daughter and does the healing that he does there, there are two healings that he does, not just one. First of all, he heals her body. He doesn't just bring her soul back into a body that was ill, the illness that caused the death. He heals her body. He makes her healthy. And he also, the second miracle, he calls her soul that has left her body because of this illness back into the body. And she is able immediately, as Matthew points out, stand up, walk. And as Luke says, Jesus says, give her meat. She's not sick anymore. She doesn't need something less than meat, some milk or some broth. Give her meat. She is well, body and soul. We need not just our physical health, but the spiritual health of our soul. Decades ago, now, today, a physical problem that ought to have lain me in the grave. 20, 25 years ago, my heart condition was evaluated and a pacemaker was put into my body. I'm on my fifth pacemaker now. I should have died then had it not been for that pacemaker. It gave me a new lease on life. But it wasn't just the technology. It was the doctors and the technology. And through the doctors and the technology, Jesus Christ acts in order to heal us. Not just physically, but spiritually. Touches us so that the years that I have lived since then have been years that I would not have had. Spiritually, had it been not just for the doctors and the technology, but for God's participation in even the coming into existence of that kind of technology. We tend to think that we and our abilities are separate from God. It is extremely foolish. God created the world, all creation, and brought us out of the creation that he had made, out of the dust of the earth, breathed his life into us. Scientists would describe that process of his bringing us out of the world that he had created as the process of evolution. The Orthodox Church doesn't say yes or no about that. You can look at it that way if you want to. You can reject it if you want to. But it's the same way with the technology. God created such a world that human beings can take the stuff of the world and mold it into things that are good and useful for them, that enable us to live at a higher technological level. He created a world such that we are able to take the things of the world and over the course of many generations learn enough about the minerals, the metals, the things of the world, so that we can fashion a device and understand the processes that operate in the world and make a device like a pacemaker and put it into the body of a person, and the person that would have died doesn't die. And there is physical health. All of that God is involved with. And God cannot not notice when someone returns to a healthy condition because of his participation, because of their participation by faith in him to arise and go on to live a new life where they love God and serve him in ways that they could not have had they been laid in the grave. He is a participant in all of the things that we attribute to our own ability and feel as though they are separate from his involvement. It simply is not the way things are. St. Nikolai writes about the Lord Jesus Christ and his humility in taking on our flesh so that the presence of God in the world does not blast us into death as it did when God was present in the Ark of the Covenant. He takes on our humanity, our flesh. He is fully God, but he is also fully man. He does this in order to engage us spiritually so that we have the opportunity to respond or not respond to the presence of God. Bishop Nikolai says, had the Lord Jesus not shown his humility by doing this, even ascribing his power to another, his heavenly Father, this is the degree of his humility, the Son of God incarnate, had he not shared his glory with men by coming into the world by way of a woman, what do you think? Would the earth not have been constantly quaking at his divine tread? This is God who has created the world, who is present in our flesh. Would not the whole world have burst into flame at his words? Who would have dared to look him in the face? Who would have dared to stand close to him and touch him? Who could have heard his words and not be dissolved into nothing? The Lord clothed himself in human flesh in order to associate with men as brother with brother. This is why he humbled himself. This is why he gave men courage at every step. This is why he attributed his work to their faith, so that they are able to know that without their participation, they would not have been made whole in the way that they were made whole. In order to be fully alive, we need the touch of Christ. In order to be fully alive, we need to be able to touch him physically. As the woman in today's reading touched the hem of Christ's garment, that is why we come here. We do so much in this world today to be able to maintain our lives, to be able to maintain a certain standard of living, to maintain our health. We attribute it all to ourselves. First, in order to come here to the Divine Liturgy and receive what we can only receive from God, we need to prepare ourselves by humility, recognizing God's presence in everything that human beings have ever accomplished and not attributing it to ourselves in separation from him. That goes for our technology. It goes for our own accomplishment in the midst of our lives. And if we prepare ourselves by that humility and become like the woman who touched the hem of Christ's garment, then when we come to the Divine Liturgy and participate all together and throng around the presence of Christ at the altar, when the chalice comes and we are offered the body and blood of Christ, touching him physically, we will receive according to our faith. And if our faith is like the faith of the woman who touched the hem of his garment, our souls will be healed. The Spirit will return to our souls. We will be able to go forth into the world and live a life where all the world is enlightened by the presence of God. The way the rocks shine because the sun gleams on the rocks. All of creation can gleam like that for us if we see the presence of God, if our souls have been healed by the touch of Christ. Our work is to prepare ourselves to come here, to prepare ourselves by prayer and fasting and by the effort to gain the sufficient humility to acknowledge that all that we have, God has given to us. Once we have that humility, then to the degree of our faith, touching the body of Christ, taking him into our bodies, can transform the experience of the rest of our lives now that we have been healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.